And turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Well, I just want to kind of give you an update. I mentioned last Sunday that talked about how Wes had his calcium screen and that he failed. I just want to let you know that I failed too. So I don't know what that's going to mean as far as stress tests and heart cath and all that stuff for me, but I'm not worried about it. I feel great. It's good. So don't give me that look. I'm going to be all right. But I just thought I'd let you know so you could say a prayer for me. But I feel good. Matthew chapter 24. These are the scriptures that we have for the first Sunday of Advent. We've read Romans chapter 13. I'm going to refer to that again in a little bit. Christy read Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 through 5. And I'm going to read our gospel today. Gospel is in Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. Just listen to this. This is the word of the Lord according to Matthew. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding the mill. One will be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this promise of the second coming. But Lord, it hasn't happened yet, and we don't know when it'll happen. So Father, you call us to live a life of hope here in this world until that day. So Lord, I just pray that you would be with us, that we would hear you this morning and what you would say in our hearts and lives, and just guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I had a thought about cueing the Chicago song. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care about time? How many of you have heard that song? I love that song. Does anybody know really what time it is? I was reading this and studying this Romans passage, and it starts out by saying, look at that. Let me go back here and let me read the first line of that. And do this, knowing the time. Knowing the time. Does anybody really know what time it is? You know, we could ask a lot of people, and they'd have a lot of different ideas. Most of you hearing me read the gospel probably have a whole idea of what I'm going to be talking about today. Nope. You might be surprised what I'm going to talk about today. But Advent is a time in which we look forward, we look back to the promises of God, and we look forward to what He's promised yet to do. And we know He's going to do that, and we wait patiently, and we live our lives in such a way that would help others see the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. How many of you know when He's going to come back? Anybody know? Now, some have said they do. Now, I'm old enough to know. Anybody remember back in 1988? Anybody remember back that far? I was in ministry in Indiana, in Illinois. I had just got to Illinois, and I got a book in the mail. Anybody remember this book? You may have not gotten it. I don't know if they just sent it to pastors, but it was 88 Reasons Jesus is Going to Come Back in 1988. Anybody remember that book? Yeah, some of you remember it. When we got to the end of 1988 and we celebrated New Year's of 1989, I wondered, what were the 88 reasons? He didn't come back in 1988. Guess what? I got a book about a month later and said, oops, we miscalculated. He's coming back in 1989. Is it obvious that he hasn't come back yet? What about 2000? Anybody remember 2000? Yeah, boy, everything was gonna shut down. Lord was gonna come back. I even know of people who sold everything, went out and waited on a hill. Did Jesus come back in the year 2000? Nope. How many of you think, well, Jesus has got to come back? We didn't win the election cycle last time. Do you remember what I read? Nobody knows when he's going to return. Nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the day. Jesus said, oh, you can look around and see the seasons and know a little bit, but nobody knows. So how come we spend so much time trying to tell everybody when he's going to come back? Why don't we just forget that and get on with living the life he wants us to live so that when he comes back, we can go, hello, there he is. You know, I just think we waste so much time, so much. I mean, how many of you have ever, Patty told me one time, she says, you need to write a book with some of this stuff. I said, no, I don't want to write a book because you know what my nightmare is? How many of you have been to Mardell's in Wichita? They got those aisles that have those $2 books, you know. And it never fails that on those aisles, now there are some good books. I've purchased a few myself. Not that I buy a lot of books, but but you know, it's always the coming oil crisis and the return of Jesus in 19 whatever, you know. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to write a book and one day go to Mardell's and it's going to be there on that thing for a buck. You know, and there's 20 of them and nobody wants that for a buck. Instead of trying to waste a lot of paper and a lot of time, why don't we get on with not worrying about that and just living each day for Jesus? Living in the hope that he will return. Yes, we don't know when, but he will return. But how should we live until that day? Look at verse, are you in Matthew 24? Did I have you turn there or did you just listen? But in Matthew 24, look at verse 36. Let me say that again. But at that day and hour, no one knows. Who knows? Not even the angels. There's another passage where he talks about, it says, the Son doesn't even know. God is the only one who knows. One of these days, Jesus is going to be sitting up there and God's going to say, go ahead. But what's going to be happening here? I want you to think seriously about this. We always, now I'm not trying to preach at anybody this morning. I'm just, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm just trying to look realistically at things. Okay? What kind of life is it going to be here when he comes? Well, it's going to be awful, Jeff. It's got to be awful. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, not only will we not know the hour, but you know what's going to be happening? Now, he says it. This isn't me. This is what he said. He said, people will be eating and drinking. They will be marrying and given in marriage. You know, I've actually heard sermons that you're not supposed to marry because Jesus might come back because of what he says here. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that it's going to happen at a time you don't know. Life is going to be normal. We're going to be eating and drinking. We're going to be getting in marriage. We got wedding ceremonies coming up. We got to plan those things. We got to plan for the future. The reason a couple gets married is they want to spend the future together, right? Well, look down here a little farther. Two men will be in the field. What are they doing in the field? They're planting. Why? Because they have a future. That women are grinding the mill. Why are they grinding? Because they want to bake some bread for a meal. We don't know the hour. We don't know the time. Things are going to be normal before he comes back. So in that normal time, we ought to live a life. Would you agree? We need to live a life that brings hope. See, that's the thing about Advent. It's like, you know, we all talk about Lent. You know, it's a time to repent. We give up something because we're preparing for, you know, the crucifixion and all that stuff. Advent is the same kind of holiday. It's the same kind of time frame that we kind of look at, okay, now, how should I live in this time? We are patiently awaiting. How should I live? And that's the question I have. Does anybody really know what time it is? We were waiting to get out of here, but maybe the time is to stay here and do some good stuff. Amen? I know some of you are like, man, but that's okay. I'd rather get out of here and go too. You know, like all college students want the rapture before the thesis final. You know, how many times have I prayed before a test when I was in school? Oh, Jesus, won't you please come back now? I'm not ready for that test. Life goes on. How should we then live? And instead, and I just want to throw this out, instead of being doomsayers, why don't we be a people of hope? I was writing this out and I thought, this is corny, but I'm going to say it. We need to be a people of hope, not a people of nope. You might want to use that later someday. We need to be a people of hope, not a people of nope. You know? See, I read this quote this week in my study, and it said, the church's task is to hear and proclaim the assurance that we live always in close proximity to what will ultimately save us. I'm going to read that again. We as the church, our task is to hear and proclaim the assurance that we live always in close proximity to that which will save us. And remember last week in my sermon, we talked about salvation was not some post-mortem placement after we die. Salvation comes now, here. We are always in close proximity to the things that will save us. What kind of things save us? Well, of course, Jesus does, but don't you think hope would save us? Do you think peace would save us? Do you think love might save us? Do you think joy might save us? Sure. We need to live in close proximity of those things because God is at work. Do you understand what I'm saying that? God is at work. We need to see some things here. We need to look at this. When is the time? Does anybody know really what time it is? The word time, Myron can tell me this, but the word time, the Greek, has basically two words. One of those words is the word chronos. It's where we get a chrono. What are those watches called, Ralph? Chromatic watch? What? Yeah, that. Chronometer. And basically, the chronos time, the Greek word chronos, is a quantitative time. You know, it's a time which we can measure. It's a time. It's a part of. Let me get the exact word. It is chronological. It is clock time with seconds, minutes, and years. It is quantitative. That is chronos. We are now. It's 11:01 chronos. That's the time. Okay. But there's another word for God's time for time. That's the word kairos. I'm really messing up. Kairos. Kairos. Prison ministry is called Kairos. Why? Because it's not necessarily a date on the calendar. It is God's timing. You know, it's interesting. One of my favorite passages in Galatians is Galatians 4:4, where it says, at the right time, the Son of Man came, brought forth at the right time. That word there is chronos in the Greek. But the coming of the Son was not according to a calendar. It was in God's timing, the right time, the way it should be, what God wants, God's action. So, can I say it this way? Within the chronos comes the kairos. Now, I want to linger here just a second because I want you to see it. We sometimes try to figure out stuff via chronos. You know, what time is it? When's he coming back? When's it going to happen? When's this stuff? We're trying to figure all this stuff out. We got all these Bible prophecies. We got all these things. We try to figure out what time, chronos, he is coming. And that's why we're so wrong. Because we're not paying attention to the kairos. But know this, the kairos will happen in the chronos. There is a time when Jesus will come back, but it will be in God's time. It will be the right time. And we don't know when that is. So we've got to understand that. When we pay attention to what God is doing, it's more about Kairos time than Kronos time. Everybody understand that? But God, in his Kairos time, visits us within the understanding of Kronos. Okay, are you kind of seeing what I'm saying? Because if we're focused so much on Kronos time and not Kairos time, we might just miss what God is up to and what God is doing. We might miss those things. So here's the question that I have. What kind of people should we be? Well, let's look back. Let's take your Bibles and look back at the Romans 13 passage. Okay? We're not going to be here very long, so don't worry about it. I know some of you look at me like, Pastor Jeff, this is like timing up to be a long one. It's not. But let's look at this again. Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 18. And do this, knowing the time, which, by the way, the word time there is kairos in the Greek. Okay? Knowing the Lord's timing, knowing what the Lord is doing, that now it is high time to wake up out of our sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than it was when we first believed. Right? How many of you know the coming of the Lord is closer than when we first believed? Why? Because Kronos happened. But Kairos hasn't happened yet in that. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk, my version says, properly, but the word literally means decently, as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness, lust, or not in strife or envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. In other words, I just say, Pastor Jeff, how do you explain it? Here's how. Don't do anything that you wouldn't do in the day. Be honest with me. How many of you don't do some things because they might see you? Why shouldn't we do those things? Because maybe it's something God doesn't want us to do. Are you following me on this? We are to live as children of the light and not do deeds of darkness. We need to live our lives in such a way that it doesn't matter who finds out. You say, Pastor Jeff, I don't want to hear the rest of this sermon. But you know what? I've done things that I don't want found out. Anybody else in here done that? Yeah. What happens? We go to God. We say, Lord, I'm sorry. I confess that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what I have done, by what I have left undone. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. I'm truly sorry, and I humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me and forgive me, that I may delight in your will, walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And you know what? God forgives us. Amen? But we need to begin to get to the place where we end up doing things that we don't care if anybody finds out. That's what he's talking about, living a day. He says, make no provision for the flesh. Don't put in a special option in your life for living it the way you used to. Okay, I have a lot of examples, but I'm not going to give them. And the reason is you already think I'm preaching at you, and some of you will think I'm preaching at you more when I use your thing. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't make a way out, so if it doesn't work, I'll go back to that. That's what we're called to do. We are called to be that kind of people. Amen? Now, understand, you know what I've said. You know me. I believe in grace. I believe in forgiveness. There's nothing that you could do, with the exception of rejecting all of this, that does not bring forgiveness with the Lord when you go to him. So I'm not condemning. I'm just saying, in the day, to know what time it is, do you care what time it is? Let us live life in a way that can be seen as hope, love, life, peace, joy. Why? We'll get to that in a minute. Okay? I'm going to go back and do that in a minute. Okay? So, let's go to Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2. Turn back to Isaiah 2. I'll come back to the 13. You don't have to turn back to the 13, Romans 13, but I'll come back to that in just a second. We left a part of that out that I want to hit. But in Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah, there's been a lot of things going on in the history of Israel and Jerusalem and Samaria and just so much stuff that's going on. It takes too much time to get in here. But let's pick it up. I just want to pick it up here just as we get into verse 3. Come. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. We need to be a people of hope who want to gather with the Lord to hear his ways as they come out of Zion. All right? Well, what's Zion? For out of Zion shall come forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge. The word judge there means to make right between the nations. He shall shall decide for many peoples. In other words, he will stand for those who've been abused. He will right the wrongs. He will fix that which is broken. That's what that word judge means in the Hebrew here. It means that way in the Greek, the word that's used. Okay? By the way, is there a point in which we can go to see the teaching of the Lord that comes out of Zion? You see, this is Isaiah, and he's looking ahead. He's with hope, believing that there's a time when they can go to Jerusalem and see what God's like. Anybody have an idea who that might be that helps us out on that? Jesus. Jesus is the teaching that comes out of Zion, the presence of the Lord. By the way, you know, Jerusalem, Zion, these terms are kind of used interchangeable, but the concept of Zion, when we were in Jerusalem, there is a place called the hill, Mount Zion. Okay, so there is a real physical place. But most of the time in Scripture, when it refers to Zion, it's not referring to a physical place, it's referring to God and his will, his way, and his life. So out of Zion, out of the life of God, comes the Word. And the Word was among us, dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son who is given for us. Amen? So this passage is a prophecy for Jesus, looking forward to Jesus. What happens when Jesus comes? Well, let's continue. What's the result of patterning your life after Jesus? What's the result of patterning your life after the teaching that comes out of Mount Zion? Hold on. Hold on. I'm serious. Grab on to something. They shall, middle of verse 4, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Oh, Pastor Jeff, that's someday when Jesus comes back. No, it's when the teaching comes out of Jerusalem and Mount Zion. It's the day of Jesus. We will not be a people of war, a people who look for conflict. I'm going to say this very bluntly. I look around the church today and I think we're more for conflict and war than we are for peace. We need to be a people of peace. We need to have hope that God will work all this out. To the point that when we understand this, the result is we will take our swords and we'll make them into plowshares. We'll take our spears and we'll make them into pruning. What are those things? Those are things you use to plant food for a future. To plant a garden so that there might be fruit. What's the fruit of war compared to what's the fruit of peace? Pastor Jeff, I just don't understand that. I don't see that happening. Well, okay. You don't have hope. We got to work on getting you hope. We need to be a people of hope. Okay? I know I've stepped over some bounds right now. I've stepped on some things. Over the years, as we follow the teachings that come out of Zion, the mouth of Jesus, as we work on the issues in our lives, the things so we live in the light, as we, and this is back to that Romans 13 passage, we put on Jesus and live as children of the light. As we do those things, we're going to grow in hope. We are going to grow in peace. We are going to grow in love. And we are going to grow in joy. Boy, how many of us need joy? I want joy right now. But I know I got to deal with some darkness in my life to get the joy. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Really? The problem is there's some darkness in there too. And I got to take that pruning fork and deal with my own darkness, not your darkness. And you could say the same with me. Say, man, Pastor Jeff, you're hitting me today. Me too. I'm going to go home and sit down and eat lunch. And I'm going to go, I can't believe I said some of those things I said. They're going to hate me for a while. But then you'll love me. Why? Because Jesus, you clothe yourself in Jesus, he's going to love you. Because Jesus loves me. He told me so. Okay, I want to look at a couple passages. Why is this all important? Why? Why is this all important? And here's where we're going to conclude. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I'll tell you what, let's wait. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because I want to relate all that I'm saying to the gospel this morning. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Isn't that what Jesus has taught? For when we say peace and safety, let's go plant a garden, let's grind some bread, let's get married, you know, let's eat and drink, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes on them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. That's a whole thing. I want to read this in context, so we could spend a lot of time here. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and daughters of light and sons and daughters of the day. For we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That's what I'm talking about when we pay attention to the Kairos. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of salvation of hope. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, this is what I envision in my life someday. Now, if the Lord tarries, I may be put in a coffin. Don't know. But if the Lord tarries and he ends up coming back while I'm still taking a breath, I think one of these days I'm just going to be working in the garden. I'm just going to be having my prayer time. I'm going to be sitting in my library reading. I'm going to be drinking a cup of coffee. Might even be preaching a sermon. Who knows? And all of a sudden, Jesus is going to come back, and I'm going to go be with him. I'm not worried about it. I am not figuring a plan to. I'm just going to live my life. Amen? And when it happens, ain't going to surprise me. Split second, boom, I'm gone. That's the way I want to live my life. Hope, peace, love, joy, life. Why do I want to live it that way in the midst of all the other stuff? Last scripture. 1 Peter. I hope you're putting this together.